Tempe Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. The Indianapolis Colts are all set now for their Week 9 matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Things looking a little bleak in a couple areas, especially on the injury front. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But overall, this is a pretty important game for the Colts. I mean, they sit at 5-2 right now. The entire AFC South won last week, which continued to keep the Colts in front of the rest of the division. But they need another win, as this is a pretty important week to get that, especially against the Steelers team that for my money is kind of underrated. So we're going to go through a few things, talk about the some Colts news, and then we're going to get into an interview I did with Alex Kozora the other night, so he can kind of lay out as much as you guys need to know about the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is literally an all-knowing version of Steelers information. So you guys are going to get all of it, and try to take it you know, keep your ears peeled, because he throws a ton of information in just one sentence. So you guys are going to have to keep your ears peeled for that. But let's start with today, which is Friday's final injury report for the Week 9 matchup against the Steelers. At this moment, it looks like the Colts are going to be without T.Y. Hilton for, you know, I mean, at least a month. And there was a little bit of talk. And this is total conjecture, so I have no idea if there's any validity to this or not. But there was apparently a rumor that he was going to be placed on injured reserve. Last night, I believe, we were hearing about that or seeing it kind of, you know, in a couple of places. But that kind of, you know, it kind of came true. At least the rumor that was being spread was that it was much more serious than we'd expected. We didn't know that. We just saw that he didn't practice yesterday, which was Thursday. And there were others saying that he had an MRI, that he's probably going to be placed on IR. Well, we find out today he didn't practice either. He's been ruled out for today. Frank Reich stated that Hilton's going to be out for a few weeks at minimum. So this is going to be a difficult game for the Colts in that they don't play very often without T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton is one of the mainstays of this team. He, even when he doesn't practice all week or practices just once a week, he very much is the guy who will play. So this is going to be a new thing for the Colts in that regard. The Colts are going to have to really kind of try to find that that nice mix here between spreading the ball around and getting guys, you know, the ball who, you know, quite frankly, don't get a ton of targets right now. I mean, last week we saw an odd kind of mix with T.Y. Hilton only getting two catches in the game, 19-yard and I believe a 35-yarder. Well, we also saw that Zach Pascal only had one catch, I believe. That could be, I think that's right. But right now we've got, you know, Deion Kane, who was inactive last week. We've got Paris Campbell, who had been injured, came back, only had one target, only had like less than 10 snaps, I believe. Chester Rogers, is it crazy to think that Chester Rogers, is in terms of wide receiver, is going to be the guy that is trusted the most here by Jacoby Brissett? I mean, somebody's going to have to step up. Ashton Doolin's in there. He's in there primarily for special teams work. But this is kind of, you know, strange. This is uncharted territory almost, you know. This receiver core has got to step up. This can't be a kind of a no-name group where nobody really steps up and acts like it. But, you know, none of these guys really fit T.Y.'s build. None of them really have T.Y.'s speed, route running ability, any of that stuff. I mean, is Paris Campbell going to have a much larger role? I don't know. Is Deion Kane going to finally find, you know, his way here and being, you know, pretty much he's being forced into the lineup because there is no Devin Funchess right now, guys. So somebody better step up. Zach Pascal, is he going to be able to assume the role of a number one receiver? Are we going to, aside from build, you know, it's just Chester Rogers, but he doesn't have anything close to T.Y.'s speed. How is all this going to shake out? And I'll tell you what, in terms of Frank Reich being ready and prepared and having, you know, a quality game plan each and every week, he's going to be tested this week because his receivers are giving him a lot to be desired right now, aside from T.Y. Hilton. There just really isn't, you know, a lot of guys stepping up. Zach Pascal, we've had that conversation about him possibly being, you know, a number two guy. But look, like I said, ultimately two rookies. I know that Deion Kane was drafted last year, but he was injured all last year, comes back this year, isn't impressing anybody, has had a ton of snaps. Paris Campbell's been injured, hasn't done anything himself. Ashton Doolin doesn't get any targets almost ever. Chester Rogers gets a few a game. Zach Pascal has gotten more than most. But, guys, this is a strange situation and kind of makes you – it doesn't really make me wonder why the Colts didn't try to make a move at the deadline for a wide receiver, but it kind of makes you wonder if they thought that it might – there might be some necessity to it, you know, and then they just decided, no, we've got our guys. T.Y. will probably be fine. It's just a calf. You never know. But this kind of plays into, you know, they need a lot from their tight ends. They need a lot from Nyheim Hines. They need a lot from everybody else on that offense in terms of skill position in order to make this offense run, because the Steelers have a damn good defense. This is going to be – this could very – possibly be a need for somebody to break out. This could have to be possibly in order for this. I guess I'm kind of saying this wrong. What I'm getting at is if all goes well and this turns out to be a good offensive game for the Colts, I mean, the Steelers are going to be stacking the box against the run. They're going to force the Colts to pass. So they either need a breakout game from someone or they need Frank Reich to have his finest his finest game yet as a play caller and designing plays and being creative and so on and so forth. This is going to take a lot from all parties involved to get this offense, you know, kind of back. And it's kind of a shame, but at the same time, it's just the way it is when you have a number one that's so trusted, so reliable, and so productive like T.Y. Hilton. He hasn't had a 100-yard season or a game this year, I don't believe. So it's not that he's been – uber productive himself, but him on the field takes a lot of pressure off of a lot of the other guys that are going out, you know, running pass routes. So this is going to be something to keep an eye on. This is a very important game for a lot of entities within this offense. So we've decided obviously going to hit that first and we'll move on. Denico Autry, who did not practice Wednesday with a neck injury, he was full go the past 2 days. Pierre Desir has not practiced this week. He's probably not going to play. Kind of makes you wonder what happens with the secondary this week. We saw Marvell Tell. We saw Shaquille Taylor. We saw a couple other guys getting some snaps, you know, that Quincy Wilson probably would have had he been active. So the secondary needs to kind of step up as well. Kenny Moore. Good news on his front. Full the past 2 days after not practicing on Wednesday. Same with Jabal Sheard and the same with Kari Willis. I think Kari Willis is a huge piece in this defense, and I think that we've talked about that enough to where, you know, we see his power, that he comes up and he's effective at the line of scrimmage coming up against the run or on some of those short lateral passes. And he's okay in coverage. He's not fantastic, but he's certainly not, I don't think that he is a an issue back there. So good to see him getting a full couple days of practice in. Hopefully he's good to go with that foot injury. Carl Davis, who was the only guy who was ruled out last week in terms of injury related reasons, he was a full go on Friday. I wouldn't count on him practicing. He was limited or playing Sunday. He was limited the 2 days previous. And we talked about Hilton. Quentin Nelson, who was limited on Wednesday and Thursday, was a full go today. Tyquan Lewis is full all week. I don't know if I'm going to be pissed or if I'm just going to be confused as to why he's not on the field if for some reason he's inactive. The Colts need him. We saw DeNico Autry get banged up last week. We saw Grover Stewart get banged up last week. Marcus Hunt's not producing much of anything, quite honestly. We need to see Tyquan Lewis. We need to see what he can do. You know, we got Ben Benagu or Benagu more reps last week. He looked explosive, had a huge play at the end of the game. It's time to give these guys, you know, their rope to hang themselves, so to speak. You know, these guys, that's why they're drafted. That's why they came in. Tyquan Lewis was there to get some interior pressure. DeNico Autry's been about the only thing that's resembles some interior pressure with any sort of consistency lately. The Colts definitely need Tyquan Lewis in that lineup, in my opinion. And if he doesn't, like I said, then I'm going to start questioning what the Colts think of him at all. So he's back from his ankle issue. Full go all 3 days. So time to you know, kind of get it done. Either crap or get off the pot. So Ebron was a non-participant Thursday because of an ankle injury himself. He was full go on Thursday. Malik Hooker is questionable right now. Limited on Thursday. Did not participate on Friday. I think we need to see him back. I'm not sure if it's just maybe some soreness in the knee or what following that day, but he was out, you know, on Wednesday, or wasn't a didn't have a designation on Wednesday. So kind of wondering what happened there. Maybe Wednesday for some reason gave him some soreness, you know, maybe he tweaked it a little bit. Doubt that it's anything serious, but they're not going to try to rush him back, especially with Kari Willis playing well back there, with Clayton Gethers healthy, you know, with George Odom healthy, all that stuff. They're not going to pressure that. And the Colts felt like they had pretty good lineup in the back of that secondary over the past couple or several weeks without Hooker. So Justin Houston's another one. Limited on Thursday, did not participate today. Questionable also for the game. So doubtful from Pierre Desir. Hilton is out. Hooker and Houston both questionable. Costanzo and Clayton Gethers had rest days, no big deal. So injury report looks fairly decent. Obviously a big one. You know, Hilton kind of overshadows a lot of what's going on. But we're seeing now for a second week in a row that Quentin Nelson comes into the injury report. I'm not loving that, although he's an offensive lineman, man. For these guys, so many of them, I can't believe they're not banged up more than they actually are. Nice to have Ryan Kelly healthy. Nice to have, you know, Glowinski, Smith. All those guys have been healthy all year. Costanzo, the same. It's good. It's good business. But the Colts on the offensive line obviously need a much, much better performance from those guys up front this week. This Pittsburgh defense is tough. They are good against the they're okay against the run. They're not bad against the run. But, man, they are damn good at pressuring the quarterback. And the Colts have to keep Jacoby Brissett upright and clean in this game because he's going to be dealing against a defense right now that is keeping them in games. They have four losses. They got blown out in week one against the Patriots, and their last three losses have come with a total of 9 points, a difference at 9 points. Their three wins, they've won by more than 14 on average. So this is a team, like I said, they can win. They're going to beat bad teams, and they're not losing much to losing by much to some of the good, better teams in the league. So the Colts have to prove that they're one of the better teams in the league and keep this, you know, keep this tight. They've got to keep this one-score issue. You know, if it becomes a one-score game, they've got to win that game. They can't let this be one of their two losses and be a loss in a one-score game. They've got to keep this in the win column one way or another, however you want to do it. That's necessity right now. At the moment, Pittsburgh is ninth-ranked defense in Football Outsiders in DVOA. They're 10th in pass defense. They're 16th against the run. So, like I said, average or so against the run, but they're going to be keying on that. Their defense is going to be different coming into this game because they simply have a game plan that they feel like they can win, you know, with. And that's something that you know, the Colts need to prepare for. They have to prepare for all of this. Right now, you can see that Pittsburgh is sixth in red zone. You'll hear a little bit about this with Alex. The red zone is going to be a big game, a big part of the game here. Defensively, Pittsburgh is sixth, allowing less than 50% scoring opportunities in the red zone defensively, while the Colts, who are also a pretty solid defensive team in the red zone, they're at 56.5%. So this isn't a terrible situation for the Colts. This is kind of what you would expect from this team with the style of defense they play. And it's kind of what you would expect, I guess, from the style of play with the Steelers. Now, here's the other side kind of the coin here. On third down, the Colts are 15th in the league at 39.2%. Not too bad. Pretty decent. I mean, you've got some elite defenses up at the top with New England, Dallas, and San Francisco, and even New Orleans, for that matter, and Chicago. Top five there. And those are top five defenses, you know, in the league. Five, you know, in no particular order. But that's, you know, the top five. And the Colts are, you know, sitting at 15. Not terrible. The Steelers, however, defensively are allowing 43.7 in third down conversions. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Can Jacoby Brissett continue to keep possessions moving? Can he convert on third down? Can Frank Reich, you know, put the play, you know, the game plan together to where they're effective on third down? It's going to be hard without T.Y. Hilton. Now, T.Y. is not a huge third down guy. It's not like he's getting a lot of those 3 and 4 yard passes, but he does a lot of crossing routes. Obviously, T.Y. is great after the catch. It's going to be an issue. It's going to be something that the Colts are really going to have to pay attention to. And right now, the Colts need about everything they can get. So whether it's defensively or offensively, right now the Colts have to be able to be good on third down. They've got to be good in the red zone, both sides of the ball. And they're going to have to design a game plan that can take T.J. Watt, some of these other guys that they've got on the defense, and they've got to account for the guys in the secondary as well, and their linebackers. I mean, this is a stout Steelers defense. Offensively, the Steelers are not so great. Their backfield is kind of in limbo right now with Connor being out. They're sitting there with Mason Rudolph under center. You know, Juju is kind of their only option, but they've got him. They've got a couple other guys that are under him that are a little unnoticeable, where I've heard a lot of people talking about. I have never heard of a couple of these guys, but Alex will talk about them a little bit here in a few minutes, and you guys will get a little more familiar with what's going on with that. Right now, I like the Colts to win this game, but it's in Pittsburgh, man, and the Colts literally, and I'm not just saying the Colts have had a few bad games in Pittsburgh. The Colts are awful in Pittsburgh. Like, historically awful in Pittsburgh. I don't even know what the record is for them, but I can only remember them winning. Man, they beat Pittsburgh at home, but I guess I'm trying to think. This probably back in the Manning years would be the only time I couldn't even remember them winning a game in there. I don't know if they've won too many more than that in Pittsburgh. It's really not a good situation. Now, granted, you don't just count a team out because you're playing on a certain field. The team that, you know, that they're playing with matters a lot. In fact, much more than the field does. But there are just kind of those things that hang over teams occasionally when you go to a team, play a team. I mean, Foxborough's impossible to play in for a reason. The fans are crazy, and Pittsburgh fans are crazy as well. And they don't care whether that team's 500 or, you know, five games under 500. They're going to be loud, obnoxious, and waving those stupid towels. So this is going to be a real game. The Colts have to get after Mason Rudolph. And that's another thing. He's not being sacked very much. Their offensive line's pretty decent. So the Colts really have to rely on their ability to pursue. They have to rely on their ability to stop the run up front. And they've got to find creative ways to get after Mason Rudolph, because he is going to make mistakes if they do. If they sit there and let Mason Rudolph dink and dunk all day long, that's going to be a really ugly game. And then it's really going to come down to red zone attempts versus success rate, because the Colts are that style of defense. They're not going to pressure a ton until things start getting tight. The Colts need to be able to do something without Pierre Desir. They need to be able to have Rocky Sin not create a penalty every single time that the Steelers pass the ball. The Colts are going to have to do a lot. This is a very interesting game for me. I am, however, I want to pick the Steelers here because I feel like every time I pick against the Colts, they win. But knowing that and even saying that now makes me feel foolish for just saying, so that's why I'm going to do it. I do think the Colts win this game. I do think it stays close, but I'm only giving them a 24-23 victory in this. This is literally, in my opinion, going to come down to Mason Rudolph trying to go down the field and make something out of a final possession. And I just don't think that anybody in the league, I don't think any fan would say, yeah, give Mason Rudolph the ball and let him win it for you. I'm not giving him that. So I'm going to say that. And the Colts are going to be able to, in my opinion, to roll coverage towards Juju. Hopefully a lot of his routes are vertical. I would prefer that, actually. I would prefer him to catch a couple big plays and to for them to continue to throw vertically to him because it allows that coverage to roll, as opposed to him coming underneath and having him be dynamic after the catch. I would much rather honestly do that. Now, you're looking at fewer yards in that case, but you're also looking at a larger opportunity for him to make plays. And I'm just not having that. So I don't know if that makes sense even. I don't really care. But that's where my brain's at right now, thinking about how I want the Colts to defend him. So I'm going with that in this case. And I think that the Colts have a real good opportunity here to get another big win because Pittsburgh is good. They just don't have their quarterback there. And they don't have their running back. So this is something that's going to come down, in my opinion, to the last possession. And I think the Colts either do something to turn the ball over, or that, you know, they simply run out on downs with Rudolph under center, because I just don't trust him. I don't think anybody else should, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think Steelers fans trust him in that spot. So that's where I'm at right now for this game. It's a big game, guys. It's a huge game. I mean, the Colts, like I said, they are in a favorable portion of their schedule right now. They could legit be 8-2. And it would be amazing. They've got some winnable games throughout the rest of their schedule. In fact, all of their games are winnable right now. They've got a game against the Saints that looks really tough. The Carolina Panthers defense, you know, is good. Their offense has been okay and has been really good at times. But those are the only two teams, in my opinion, that you say, yeah, the Colts could possibly get beat by those teams because they've got kind of elite players on both sides of the ball. I don't think that anybody, in my opinion, I mean, I know Fournette's like, what, second or third in the league in rushing, but outside of that, guys, I mean, the Jaguars don't scare me. The Titans sure as hell don't scare me. The Texans don't scare me because we know we beat them most of the time. Yes, they are more than capable of beating the Colts, but none of these guys scare me. I mean, the Dolphins, I mean, come on. You know, this is an opportunity here for the Colts to get 10-11 wins this year and make the playoffs as the winner of the division. So this is a huge game. It's a huge game. So we'll see how that turns out. But we're going to take a quick break, and then you guys are going to hear Alex Kozora come back with me, and he's going to give you guys all the information you need leading up to the Colts Week 9 game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So also a heads up, make sure if you guys are using TickPick after this ad, do it for anything, whether it's football tickets, concert tickets, I don't care what it is, any tickets at all, use TickPick, use our promo code Stampede, 10% or $10 off of anything over 100 for the ticket. Well worth it. I've used it all summer. I use it constantly. It literally is so much easier. So if you guys do it, make sure you need that. If you need a refresher on the promo code, don't forget to hit me up. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Alex Kozora right after this.
Okay, guys, I want to talk to you about TickPick. TickPick is a great way to get tickets to see the Colts or any other sports, music, or entertainment event of your choice. Not only will you save 10 to 15% off every ticket order, you can do it without any annoying fees at checkout. Think StubHub, but without the fees. Just head to TickPick.com, select your seats, and head to checkout. Get on your way to the next Colts game with TickPick.
Tonight, we've got Alex Kozora from Steelers Depot here to read us in on just about anything that we need to know heading into this Week 9 matchup between our Indianapolis Colts and Pittsburgh Steelers. Alex, thank you for coming back to the show, man. Been a long time. Good to have you back on the show, though.
Hey, Matt, appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So, you know, the Steelers right now are not like your typical Steelers. I mean, they aren't killing it right now. Their record doesn't look all that impressive at 3-4. But, man, they're a hell of a lot better, I think, than people are giving them credit for, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, their defense is still, you know, a defense to be reckoned with right now. But because we're not seeing Ben Roethlisberger, I think, under center, I think a lot of people are giving this team, you know, an unfair shake, more or less.
You're basically going to see the opposite of what the Colts saw the last time they played Pittsburgh, really what the league has seen over the last several years, where obviously offensively they're the point that's struggling and trying to figure out their identity and define themselves. Well, defensively is the strength and the identity of this team. The big thing for the defense is they've added so much talent, especially over the last 12 months, whether you're talking Steven Nelson in free agency or trading up for Devin Bush or trading Minkah Fitzpatrick, a move that shocked me, but I think has paid off handsomely so far. But the biggest difference with the defense is they're being opportunistic. The one stat that I could give you above all else that'll define why this defense has improved and why they've become the strength of this team and really a good defense overall is takeaways. All of last year, all of 2018, this defense forced just 15 takeaways, an abysmal number. This year, through seven games, they're up to 19 takeaways. So they've already surpassed last year's number. They're an opportunistic group. They're still getting a good pass rush, but they have much more talent in the secondary and guys that can capitalize on plays, and that's really been the big defining factor. So it's going to be a defensively driven Steelers team, which is very unusual, something we haven't really seen since 2010.
Absolutely. So this past week, quite honest with you, I fell asleep during the game. I thought, wow, the Steelers are really going to lose this to the Dolphins. This is out of control. You know, it just was a complete shock to the system. Woke up and saw that they were handling the Dolphins. What is it about this team that are they lacking the firepower? Is Mason Rudolph going to be? Because, you know, I was a fan of Mason Rudolph when he was coming out, but you know, mm-hmm. he's just not a big time player right now. What is he going to provide the Steelers offensively in order to get the weapons, you know, to get some of his weapons the ball and to be able to create some points in that regard?
Well, with that Dolphins game, the Steelers' mantra seems to be start slow, give your fans a heart attack, and then finish strong. And that kind of really was encapsulated in the Dolphins game. Rudolph was certainly rusty in Miami game, and that was to be expected because he had missed the week before, the game before with a concussion, was still coming back off of that, and they had the bye week. So there was just rust for a young quarterback, rust for the team coming off a long layoff, 15 days, because they were playing on the Monday night game. But I've been encouraged by what Rudolph has done. I'm not here to make any proclamations about is he the heir to Ben or his future. I think we play that game too often with quarterbacks. We ride this roller coaster between this is the guy, and then a week later we say this guy sucks. And I just want to kind of take the whole season to get a really good gauge of Rudolph. What they did last week, and I think it made sense coming off the bye, having a chance to breathe the first 6 weeks, they started three quarterbacks, Ben, Rudolph, and Duck Hodges. It really gave them the chance to reset and tailor this offense to Rudolph and find what works best for him. And so you saw this offense be able to push the ball downfield more. You saw more trust in Rudolph and getting the ball to those playmakers, whether you're talking Juju or Deontay Johnson, who's taking a bigger role than the team expected, but playing well. So I think overall, Rudolph has done a nice job. I think he's shown mental toughness and poise, and that was really on display in that Miami game because that was such a terrible start. You're at home Monday night, the fans are booing you. It's easy to crumble in that moment, but he really got going, settled in, found his groove, and played well really from the second quarter on. So it's not been perfect. His accuracy needs work. I mean, he probably needs to take more chances downfield, be a little less selective, and kind of trust his guys. But I like his toughness, his poise, and his confidence, and the coaching staff isn't afraid to let him make plays.
Absolutely. And just like you said, you know, he has that kind of lollipop interception to begin the game. And then you see what Minkah Fitzpatrick had, what, two takeaways in that game himself?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, so this is exactly what you're talking about. And that defense up front, you know, on the edges, obviously, T.J. Watt is becoming a force as well. You know, he's going to make his own name in the league. Mm-hmm. How are the Colts going to be able to kind of keep his pass rush, you know, down, keep it subsided?
It won't be easy because I think Watt's become an elite player. He's become a complete player, whether you're talking run defense, pass rush, drops in the coverage. Not as much as they used to. Steelers linebackers used to drop into coverage about 25-30% of the time. They're much closer to 15% the last 2 years. They want to focus on getting those guys forward, but you're going to have to probably have tight ends chip and backs come in and slide protection to him. But I know you guys have a good offensive line, and just to kind of bounce off the pass rush, pass block standpoint, the five-star matchup of this game for sure is going to be Cam Hayward versus Quentin Nelson. I mean, Hayward an all-pro, Nelson an all-pro in my book. That's going to be a really fun battle to see those guys go at it. So that's the one I'm circling the most. But Bud Dupree's having a career year. This team obviously lost Stephon to it, but they have some replacements, whether you're talking Javon Hargrave, Tyson Alulu, still have Watt. They do a lot of off-ball linebacker blitzes with guys like Vince Williams, who's probably, for my money, the most effective off-ball linebacker blitzer in football. But yeah, that Hayward-Nelson matchup is the one that I'm circling above all else.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. Well, like you said, you know, you're going to see Bud Dupree, but he's going to have Costanzo, and he's not really the rush, you know, the impact rusher, I guess you could say. T.J. Watt, however, he's going to go off a second-year guy, Braden Smith, who's, you know, had his hands full this year, to be quite honest with you. He just, you know, had J.J., you know, a couple weeks ago, and this is just going to be another test for him. If you can, just quickly, because like you said, T.J. Watt is a badass, more or less. How is he? What is his style? What is Braden? Is he more of a speed rusher? He power kind of put both things together. What do we expect in terms of that regard? I guess a better maybe what is a better description of T.J.'s highlights?
Sure. The thing that's impressive about Watt is that he can win in any way, but here's his mindset. He's talked about this before. He starts with speed. He wants to win the edge early to get the tackle, to overset, be worried about that speed rush and that rip that he's going to do around the edge. And once that tackle begins to cheat, start opening his hips a little bit and anticipate the speed rush, then he's going to go inside counter. He's going to convert speed to power. He's going to swim to the inside. He's even got an inside spin move that can be effective at moments as well. So he's a variety of rusher. His hand use has improved by leaps and bounds, really kind of the last 4 weeks of last season, and then, you know, carrying that over to this year, his hand use has really improved to make him a complete player. But his MO is going to be start with speed, start with the outside threat, then counter to the inside.
Has the coverages that this defense is doing, because this was, if I'm not mistaken, this is largely a cover two defense for years and years, is that right?
We're really more cover three in the old Dick LeBeau tackle the catch kind of days. It was a cover three shell.
Okay, so what are we looking at now?
Really a lot of man. They've transformed with the league, and that's kind of been necessary. It's hard to play spot drop zone. You're vulnerable to too many things in today's NFL, so there are a lot of cover ones, some two man on third down, but they've kind of gotten away from that. They'll put Terrell Edmonds in the box, a strong safety, let Minka play in center field and kind of roam around, but it is going to be a man-heavy team. And that's, I think they were the sixth most man coverage last year. I'm not sure where the numbers are at this year, but when you go out and you sign a Steven Nelson and pay him, you know, one of the biggest free agent contracts in Steelers history, who played like 90% man in Kansas City. So you brought him to play man defense. He's doing a good job of that. You have Joe Hayden, you paid good money for too, a couple years back. So it's predominantly a man coverage defense.
So the Colts defensively, you know, they're obviously a cover two, and they, you know, are going to bend this bend don't break mantra, so to speak, with what they do with this Tampa two style based defense. What can the Colts expect out of the running game here, especially when you look at the injury report for the backfield?
Yeah, it's still a little unclear on our end of what the Steelers are going to do. James Conner's highly questionable at this point. My gut says he's going to play, but if he does, he's probably going to be on a snap count. Jalen Samuels is healthy, and he'll be the lead back if Conner misses. Samuels is a guy that can be a receiving threat. Steelers are going to run some inside zone. They're going to run some power with David Castro pulling one of the best guards in football, for my money, right up there with Quentin Nelson. So the run game, I think, is pretty standard. They got Roosevelt Nix, their fullback, back last week, so he's going to be able to do some lead strong stuff and kind of make this offense and this run game more varied than it was kind of limited without him and some injuries they've had at tight end this year. So, yeah, this Colts defense, though, I know is really strong. Darius Leonard, great linebacker, and you guys do a great job of being able to take away the top threat in the passing game. You guys will double cover their top weapon. I expect Juju to be bottled up and have to rely on guys like James Washington, like Deontay Johnson, like Vance McDonald to make plays. Because on third down and red zone stuff, you guys do a great job of bracketing the number one receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of where the Colts are kind of making their bread right now. You know, that mm-hmm. in the red zone, they're going to allow you to get in there. They're going to do what they can to take that guy away. Right now, the Steelers are just it's so funny because they've like I said, their record is a little, you know, it's just it's not going to jump off the page at you mm-hmm. by any means. But they're playing really well against some good teams. And I think they have a total combined loss of like what 10 or 12 points I think total for the season in those three or in those four right. losses. Is that right?
Yeah, three of the four have been by one possession. I forget what the math adds up to. They had the blowout loss to New England, but yeah, they've lost to Seattle, Baltimore, San Francisco. I mean, they've lost to some good teams, and they've obviously dealt with playing without a franchise quarterback. So I would agree that their play is better than their 3-4 record might indicate.
What can Colts fans expect in terms of this game, in your opinion?
I think it'll be a good one. I mean, again, you guys are so fundamentally sound. Both have great offensive lines. Brissett only sacked 11 times this year. Steelers quarterbacks have only been sacked 7 times this year. I mean, they're on a record pace there. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come down to the splash plays. Who can create more? I mean, the Colts, I know, play pretty stingy defense. They don't give a whole lot up over the top. Steelers, I think, since acquiring Minkah Fitzpatrick, or I believe since maybe week 4, the week after they got Minkah, they're the best in football in allowing explosive plays of 20-plus yards and more, only 6 over that time frame. So I think it's going to be about that team that can create that turnover, steal a possession, and get a big play. I'm not even sure who I'm picking yet in this one. I'm kind of leaning Indianapolis because you guys, I think it depends maybe partially on your injury report. I know T.Y. Hilton has crept up on the injury report. I don't know if you have any information on maybe his status for Sunday's game, but I think it's going to be another one of those one-possession close games.
Yeah, no, that took me by surprise as well today. Obviously, seeing that he went from, you know, being limited or whatever, then completely off the radar now with this calf injury is kind of like, okay, so what's going on? Yeah, mm-hmm. We're not going to get a lot of information, I don't think, until tomorrow probably for that one, if at all. But I tend to look at this team when you think of everything being kind of level across the playing field here. You just look at the Colts' inability, the Steelers' inability to stop on third down, despite what they actually do on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. The Colts have been good offensively on third down, and the Steelers are struggling right now a little bit on third down. Damn near 45% allowance on third down. So that's one of the things that this Colts team, especially being able to draw out possessions, being able to continue to possess the ball and extend possessions, it's going to be critical in this game. They can't give the ball away, obviously, and that's, like you said, that's one of the things that the Steelers are priding themselves on now. But they've got to be able to protect Jacoby, and so those are a couple areas there. When you look, I mean, and that's the whole point. You look at what they've done defensively in terms of takeaways, and you look at guys standouts like Dupree, Watt, secondary, that so on and so forth. And they're a little, they're creative defensively as well. And I think Colts fans can understand this. They'll rush from the slot. They'll be a little creative mm-hmm. with what they do defensively. So I think the Colts, definitely, I guess, offensively, have their hands cut out or are their hands full trying to stop, and keep mm-hmm. keep the Steelers defense at bay, and as well as the Colts defense trying to limit some of the big play stuff there. You mentioned a couple guys that could step in if, let's say, for example, Juju isn't being able to rack up over 100 yards receiving and so on and so forth. Do you consider this offense more of a big play offense? Obviously, it's hard without Ben Roethlisberger, I guess, under center. But what's this team, their explosion capabilities, I guess?
So work in progress is how I would define that. They know what's necessary if they want to become a team that has a serious playoff push. You got to create big plays as an offense with a young quarterback. You just can't expect your offense to consistently have 10 or 12 play drives. And I will say they've gotten a lot better on third down the last 2 weeks. They're about 58% on third down against the Chargers and the Dolphins compared to 28% in the first month of the season. So a big change there. But they got some more big runs, some more explosive pass plays last week against Miami. Granted, it was the Dolphins. So it's not been a strength of this team, but something that they're actively trying to work towards. And again, I think the more experienced Rudolph gets, the more you kind of define this offense under a Mason Rudolph led team and transitioning away from Ben for at least this season. Ben will be back next season for anyone wondering, but I think you're going to see consistent improvement there. But it's kind of a dart throw. I mean, you got young guys that have to step up. James Washington, a second year guy, Deontay Johnson, a first year guy playing in an expanded role, maybe a second year guy, and Jalen Samuels being your lead running back. So you're not quite sure what you're getting with the explosive plays of this offense. That's why the defense has been the strength of this team, why this defense has to play well to keep the score down and keep this team competitive, because you just can't trust that offense fully right now like you could in the past.
Absolutely. Alex, thank you for jumping on the show. Give everybody kind of your handle and so on and so forth so they can kind of follow you this week and check out what you've got going.
Sure. Follow me at SteelersDepot.com. I'm on Twitter at Alex_Kozora, K-O-Z-O-R-A. Last note I wanted to add really quickly on this matchup. You talked about all the battles and third down stuff. Red zone efficiency is going to be, I think, the number one I'm circling too. The Colts, I think, are third in the red zone, and the Steelers defense is, I believe, sixth in red zone defense. So that's going to come down to just possession downs and I think red zone play along with the turnovers and the things you talked about. That's going to be some of those defining stats of the game.
That's really interesting. That is going to be a big one too. It's always a big one. That's going to be that. Those sounds like two strengths. They're butting heads right there. So that'll be definitely be interesting. Alex Kozora, very much a one-stop shop for Pittsburgh Steelers information, guys. So if you guys need any information on what the matchup brings, you guys check him out throughout the week until we can get this matchup done here week 9. Alex, thank you again for your time, my man.
Thanks, Matt. Stampede Blue.